This is the Truth Radio Network. It's the Truth Radio Network. Your home for compelling Christian news talk with an edge.
Do you dream in chocolate?
For most, chocolate is a guilty pleasure, made better because it's so bad for you. Now though, an extensive study has discovered that eating chocolate can be very good for your health. It can substantially reduce your risk of having a heart attack or stroke, and helps lower blood pressure. And before you check the date, this isn't a wind-up. The study was carried out by German nutritionists and kept track of chocolate eaters for at least 10 years. Even the British Heart Foundation agrees with the findings.
Dark chocolate has had a lot of publicity in the past about it being beneficial, and we think that that's due to the flavanols, which are actually in the cocoa, and there's some suggestion that that's actually the chemical that actually has got the heart protective effect.
The study monitored more than 19,000 people and found that eating just 7.5 grams of dark chocolate a day reduced the risk of heart attacks and strokes by 39%. Even better, those who ate the most chocolate had the greatest benefit. As always though, there is a catch. High-end chocolates like these are the most beneficial.
When things are added to chocolate, that's when it starts to become fattening and higher in calorie. The more natural it is, the better it is for you. So the darker and the richer and the better the quality of the chocolate, the better it is for you.
So this Easter, don't feel guilty. It's good for you. Some of these even add towards your 5 a day, as they contain real fruit. Of course, the problem is, will it taste as good now it's no longer bad?
Of course it will.
Cocoa Court now in session.
You've got to keep Cocoa Puffs away from me!
But wait!
It turns everything chocolatey! And they make me go cuckoo!
Well, they're munchy and crunchy!
Oh.
What's wrong with that?
I call my first and only witness! Cocoa Puffs!
Chocolate in the corn!
I'm Cocoa for Cocoa Puffs! Cocoa for Cocoa Puffs!
Chocolatey Cocoa Puffs, part of a good breakfast.
I find you guilty of being delicious!
Those who ate the most chocolate had the greatest benefit.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherry soda, 'cause they've got to fill that quota. And the way things are, I'll bet they never will. They've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil. No tea or tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice, 'cause the planners down in Santa's all say no, no, no. The politician's daughter was accused of drinking water and was fined a great big $50 bill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. Just like a percolator, her perfume was made right on the grill. why they could percolate the ocean in Brazil. And when their ham and eggs need savor, coffee ketchup gives them flavor. Coffee pickles way outsell the dill. Why they put coffee in the coffee in Brazil. No cheese, no tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice. The planters down in Santa's all say no, no, no. So you'll add to the local color, serving coffee with a cruller. Dunkin' doesn't take a lot of skill. They've got an awful lot of coffee, an awful lot of coffee. Man, they got a gang of coffee in Brazil.
Hey, folks, welcome to Taking Aim, or what are we calling now, Karen? In the crosshair, Taking Aim. Taking Aim used to be the old show title. Hey, welcome in, everyone. Oh, it's good to have you back again this week, sis. We missed last week. Silent co-host took over last week, so I didn't want him to get a big head, so we're back. He was asking to do a show again, and I said, no, he can't. One show a year, I think, for Silent co-host, so we had to lock him out of the studio. Oh, well, welcome in, everyone. It's good to be back. Karen, yeah. How are you this week?
I am blessed and highly favored and really glad to see the sun today and no snow. So how about you?
Oh, you guys got hit with snow last week, didn't you?
We sure did, and I hope it's the last that we see. I think it will be, it looks like. But, yeah, we had another round of 10 inches, and, you know, it was just pretty crazy there for a while, but we've had spits of it here and there, too. It's time for spring.
Yeah, speaking of crazy, boy, this world is just getting absolutely bonkers. So much stuff going on, Karen. It's just ridiculous. You know, I don't know if you've kept up on it, but the FBI's case against Apple, they found a way to hack into the iPhone now without order. That's kind of the problem we have, Karen, is that there's no accountability for anybody, not just government, for anybody. There's no accountability because you don't want to hurt any feelings, you know. But this whole thing about Apple and the iPhone, I'm so glad that didn't go to trial, because that's kind of what the FBI was looking for, was to set precedent in law to codify it. So I'm glad it didn't go, but now they don't even have to now. They can just do what the heck they want.
Yep. It's amazing. You know, surprise, surprise. You know, they play like, oh, we don't know what we're going to do. We can't get in. You're the only one that's got the key. And then, bam, you know, they held out long enough. And sure enough, I mean, there's things that we are not aware of in this world that we're not privy to, the systems, the weapons, the all of it, you know, that they do in intelligence and such, and technology. And that's for a reason, you know, to keep us, quote, safe. And I get that. But there's so much power there that virtually nobody has really got any privacy at all left. Which is a good and bad thing, too. I mean, you know, it's good that people can be ferreted out. But on the other hand, the thing of privacy is long gone. So I think pretty much everybody's getting used to that fact that, you know, if the government wants some information bad enough, they can get it no matter how they get it. You know, it's just too huge. And, wow.
Right. Yeah, it's just getting absolutely insane, you know. And, you know, my thing is, if you don't want people to know what you're doing, don't put it out there on the internet, online, anything. Don't hide anything on your computers, on your phone, because it can be found out. It doesn't matter. Everything is retrievable. And Apple, you know, they've just proven that with cracking the iPhone. Everything is retrievable. There's no foolproof secure system as far as, you know, information sharing goes. Or information retaining, you know, there's just no privacy. I mean, there's no way for us to be secure in the knowledge that our information is going to stay with us?
Well, in some ways, Jay, I think it's exciting because we're seeing biblical prophecy and how we go on about this. But to me, you know, I always read about biblical prophecy, and there was a lot of things years ago that I didn't understand. We didn't have the technology for. We didn't have mostly technology, actually, that has changed and really ramped it up quickly. But, you know, we know that our enemy said in Isaiah, Lucifer who fell was expelled from heaven because he wanted to be like God. The Bible reveals this about him. Said in Isaiah that he wanted to be like the Most High. The three characteristics of the Most High God, the living God that we serve and believe in, is he's all-present, all-knowing, and all-powerful. Those are characteristics of the one and only living God. There is no other. So you've got this counterfeiter. You've got this wannabe who wants to be and says, I will be like the Most High.
Right.
That is, you know, drunk on his kingdom in the, quote, world of this planet. And we see scripture that backs this up, that he's the God of this world, that, you know, the sons of disobedience are his kingdom. But he's such a control freak and so full of pride that he, and, I mean, this is like, this has got to be a pivotal moment in history for our enemy. Because behind the scenes, he actually has religiously, politically, economically, it's all coming together as one global system with him being crowned king of this
right.
global world, okay, that he can declare himself, the Bible says, to even be God. And all the world will wonder after this being who comes forth, who is, you know, bringing peace and safety, which are the buzzwords, and people are falling for this hook, line, and sinker. It's just amazing to watch it come together. And I find it exciting, Jay, because it makes
yes.
me even more sure of the truth of our scriptures, of the truth of the living God, and the fact that every prophecy will be fulfilled 100% accurately in his time. And we're right in the middle of all this stuff. How exciting is that, kind of? I mean, yes, we see a lot of the evil going on, but we know that for each day that goes by, Christ's return is imminent. I mean, we don't know when he could tarry.
Right.
We don't care. We don't really care about that. We know it's going to happen. And that's the cool thing, is that we have this assurance that this is God's story. This is not humanity's story, the human people that think that we're just part of this universal energy and we're God. That's another deception that our enemy has fed people. And how arrogant is that? That's prideful,
right.
Just like him. I will be right in the Most High. I'm God. You know, there's no real creator God. I am. And we hear this I am name of God being really trashed and misused a lot today. It's exciting to me.
Yeah, it is. It is, because we're seeing prophecy play out right in front of our eyes, Karen. And you're absolutely right. You know, each day that this goes on, it brings us closer to the return of Christ. And it is exciting. It's very exciting. And then, and, you know, times like this, when things are getting hectic and crazy, we need that strength of a relationship with the Lord even more so now.
And it's available to us 24/7. That's the beautiful
right.
thing. He's given us his assurances and his promises. We're his. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit, adopted into the family of God through the atonement on the cross. It's a done deal. He said on the cross, it is finished. His work was finished. He came to do what he came to do, and it was finished when he took the sin of the world onto his shoulders and nailed it to the cross. And that's the beautiful thing about the gospel that we just love, is that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to be in the place of us having to pay payment for sin, because the wages of sin is death, the Bible said. And this is God's word. This isn't some made-up fairy tale, Jay, like they want to, you know, pretend that it is. God is the final and sovereign authority, and his word will stand. It never changes. He never changes. And that's good news for us to hold on to, and this anchor, this rock that we need in an ever-changing, crazy world around us. Wow.
Yeah, see, that's the key word, crazy world, because it absolutely is. Things are just going to hell in a handbasket, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Well, and that's what he told us would happen, that good would be called evil would be called good, that people would be lovers of themselves and lovers of money and other things in 2 Timothy 3, and that they would not have a love, humanity would not have a love for the truth, but they would follow fables and things and you know, think that they knew it all. And it says, God says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end thereof is death. And we just go along our way thinking we can solve all these problems, we can do everything. And the brilliance of our enemy, Jay, is what just amazes me. We're talking intelligent beings. Yeah. Even that, making a mockery and a comedy out of it. Like, he's turning good. And he hates us.
Right.
He hates humanity. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy through any means necessary. That doesn't sound like love to me, does it to you? Yikes.
No, but there's people that are so deceived because they want their ears tickled. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this many times. People are deceived because they want to feel good, and they don't want to feel like they're being judged or that they can't do what they want. You know, I mean, that's the motto of this world now, Karen, is to do what thou will.
Well, this has been, how long has this been? Well, this has basically been since the garden, where Satan, at that time, the serpent, said in direct opposition of God, when God said, if you eat of this fruit, you will die, you will surely die. And Satan says, you won't surely die. You can go ahead and do your thing, because God knows you'll be like him, knowing good and evil. Go ahead and do it. Do your thing. Disobey God. You don't need to be like, you can be like God. Why would you want to just keep doing everything that God tells you to do? And this has been promoted a lot in our day in the last 100 years in the music through evil men such as Aleister Crowley and other people that follow the left-hand path, what they call the left-hand path, the occult. Absolute evil, deceiving people. And, you know, it, like you said, it appeals to our flesh, that fleshly desire. That, and that's another thing God said would happen in the end days, is that people would be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
And that's exactly what we see going on. Everything is to make you feel good. Everything is for pleasure. You know, I was watching television. I was watching a television show, one of these afternoon talk shows where they do DNA tests to see who baby's father and whatnot is. And boy, I forgot where I was going with that. Darn it! It was so good too. You know, it was so relevant. But my mind is just scattered today, unfortunately.
Well, that happens. This is live radio, and we that's the beauty of it, you know. We can be humble enough to be okay with that, too, you know. That's part of being human. And
it just baffles me because it was right on the tip of my tongue, and I was going to make some. Oh, I know what it is. Okay, I got it. This is how people look at sin and depravity in this day and age. One guy on the show, his girlfriend was saying, or wife or whatever, oh, I found porn sites on your computer and everything. And a guy's like, well, who doesn't like porn? like matter-of-factly. It's like, oh, who doesn't like porn, you know? Like, are you serious? Well, are you really that sick?
Well, pretty much, because we know that's a major, another whole show of addiction. Brain chemicals and everything. I mean, yeah, that's
ruins
like...
marriages. Ruins relationships.
Sure, because this person, it's not any different if you're taking heroin. If you're completely consumed with alcohol, if you're on any kind of substance, that is the same effect. People get into their own little worlds. Everybody outside of that suffers. It's a, you know, like alcoholism is a family disease. It doesn't just affect that alcoholic. Everyone around that alcoholic
right.
is affected. And so you've
drug
got... Oh, yeah, and this is a drug. Porn is a proven scientific drug that it reacts the same exact way as some of the heavy drugs that people take to alter the mind. And it's so addictive. It's like I had a relative who has just been lost and, you know, in and out of jail and, you know, was on crack, cocaine. And the first crack cocaine use, bam. Now, it's been years since that first hit, but that thing, that hook that's in there,
right,
is still
it takes. One
encoded,
time.
And it's encoded in the body and the brain. And so even when he abstains from things for a short time, and he'll go along doing well, eventually it'll catch him again, and it'll hit him as hard as he fights it. He goes back to it to find that original hit and to find that relief. And it's so heartbreaking to see someone that you care about getting caught up in that bondage, but it's rampant. I mean, it's just a fact of life. And, you know, only Christ can set a person free totally from that. But it's a battle for many, many people. But, you know, Satan really doesn't care, you know, how you worship him, what you call him, if you call him Shiva, if you call him, you know, Krishna, if you call him Buddha, whatever, Allah, whatever you want to call him, he's cool with that. Just call him something because, you know, he's like major, talk about arrogant, wants all of the worship from the whole world. And the Bible in Revelation says, that the whole world, now think about that for a minute. The whole world wonders after the beast. He's called the beast in Revelation. How does that happen?
People are lost and they're looking for answers and they're finding them in the wrong places. I just pulled this article up. According to this Forbes article from January of this, it's not from January. It's from January. It's from February of last year. Anyway, they're saying that the porn industry is a $10 billion business per year. $10 billion a year.
Wow. Oh yeah.
That's
power
more,
there.
That is more than the gross domestic product of some small nations.
Wow.
That's one of our, and you know, and I remember reading an article. A few months ago that pornography is one of our biggest exports to the world now.
Well, yeah, it's huge. Wow.
Yeah, it is. It's just insanity. It really is. That's why you need to just draw closer to the Lord. I mean, really, in these times, man, to me, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, To me, that is similar to walking around unfamiliar territory without a compass. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're on your own to get through the woods. I mean, yeah, there's survivalists that can brag about being survival, you know, have a lot of survival skills and such. But there's always that one extra challenge that you just can't quite do it. Because we have limitations as humans, in spite of what a lot of people think, that we're superheroes and we're super gods and we're, you know, all that. There are limitations to things. And that's exactly right, Jay, because the Bible is our compass. It tells us, it's kind of like the owner's manual. God has made us, like if you have GM make a car, it comes with an owner's manual. Someone made and designed that car.
Right.
And then the owner's manual says, this is what kind of oil to put in, this is what kind of gas is best used, this is what you do for your tires, you know, the whole thing. And so you go to that specific owner's manual for that specific model. And humanity was created by God, and the Bible is our owner's manual. And God has revealed himself to us through his word. How beautiful is that? I mean, we can know God. We don't have to just bow down to something out there. We can actually, because he's ordained that and given that to us, we can know him. And how do you know a person? You spend time with him. You read or listen to what he has to say. And you ponder it and you take it in and you allow him to lead and guide you. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He leads us into all truth and he guides and directs us in the way we should go. And of course, we have choices to make naturally. But I don't know about you, and I'm sure you would agree that any time that I've made a choice out of my flesh or what I wanted to do without really caring one way or another what the consequence was and doing it my way, doing what the world, you know, enticed me to do, it didn't turn out very well. Maybe for a season it will, but then ultimately you crash and burn. But, you know, something that I heard the other day, Jay, that was really interesting, and I never really thought about it. You know how God tells us that he promises to provide for his children.
Right.
Satan also provides for his own. And so the more money a false prophet, say, can get from, you know, just more and more and more, more power, more popularity, more money, more everything, more conveniences, whatever, more planes, more houses, more... they're more in an apt to stay in that mode. I mean, you get caught up in it. Why would you want to give that up?
Oh, absolutely. You know, people are stubborn. They like their comforts. And ignoring the importance of living a godly life is comforting to a lot of people because they don't have to answer for anything. But wouldn't it be nice to go through life, Karen, and not have to answer to anything?
Well, yeah. I mean, just do what we want. If we want to go through a stop sign, too bad. I want to do it. If I want to go steal somebody's, you know, grill in their yard, too bad. I want to do it. Too bad for you. If I can get away with it and I can do it and you can't catch me and I don't have any consequence for that, why not? I mean, that's basically survival of the fittest kind of thinking. You know, only the strong then would be the ones who would overtake the weak. Yeah, I mean, that's like the flesh run rampant to the nth degree. I mean, you know,
right.
I can have whatever I want to have. I can be God, you know. I mean, whatever my heart, you know, isn't that what they said about, what was the one where they, it was a story where it was whatever you would, your wish is my desire. I think that was the genie in the bottle or something.
Oh, your wish is my command, yeah.
And, you know, everybody would like that, I guess, to a point. But there's always a consequence and a price to pay for not following Christ. And that's the whole bottom line in the whole battle. Because the battle, the biggest war, is not about ISIS. It's not about Iraq. It's not about any of the wars in the world. The war that's the greatest war that ever was is for our souls. That's what's being waged here. And and after salvation, the war for our effectiveness, the war for our blessings that we get, you know, in the way that we go, the battle of the mind and all of the thoughts, and, you know, God transforms us into being, because we're made new creations with a new, God said, I will put a new heart, I'll give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you when we're born again. How beautiful is that? We're no longer slaves to that old sin nature that we were under, dead in our sin. I mean, we've come out of that darkness into his marvelous light, and that's the good news of the gospel. I'm not saying that, you know, it's a bed of roses being a believer, but you know what? We have that help, and it strengthens us. Those trials that we go through cause us to lean on God, and it causes us to trust him and bow to him and know that his plan is perfect, no matter whether we understand it or not. We don't always get why. We want to know why. God doesn't always tell us why. But in the end, he's worried, not worried, but he's more concerned about our character, and it's conforming us to be more like Christ than he is our comfort. Sometimes people who are real comfortable, what do you need God for when you're all comfortable? You can do your own thing. In a way, trials are a blessing.
Oh, yeah.
It's not fun. I'm not saying, and he didn't say we had to like it. But he said, you've got to crucify your flesh and follow me and pick up your cross daily if you want to follow me. There's a price to pay for following Christ. We don't just profess it with our mouth. They go, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Jesus has come into my heart. Lottie freaking da. I'm just going to do the happy dance. And nothing's going to happen. Or, you know, our lives are just going to be suddenly just this happiness thing that the world says, oh, just be happy, you know. But real life comes crashing in, and that's where God proves himself faithful to us, and he proves himself a source of help and comfort, because he left us the Holy Spirit to comfort us. And I'm talking comfort in our inside, not he promises to provide food and shelter and stuff for those that believe and are his, but I'm talking comfort of a deeper soul level. And we all have it. We all have disappointments and griefs and abuses and hurts. And, you know, that's just a human condition.
Let me ask you a question here. I wanted to get your opinion on this. We see, you know, all these games that people can download and play on their iPhones and whatnot. All this noise to get people... to keep people occupied. And what I've noticed with the proliferation when people over the last few years have become their own self-important world, society has really, really gone to hell. I mean, it has. Karen, I can't tell you how many times I see on the news every morning. Just recently here, a 3-year-old little baby got shot in a drive-by. You know, I mean, things are getting that bad where you don't even, it doesn't even make you flinch anymore. We become so used to hearing the depravity of this world.
Well, you know, God told us that the first time that he brought judgment on humanity was the flood. It was so full of violence. The world was full of violence, full of decadence, full of disgusting sin to him. He couldn't stand it anymore. And his judgment came upon humanity at that moment. And it says in the Bible later that right before Christ comes, and it doesn't mean like, you know, tomorrow necessarily, but in that time frame, that it's going to be like the days of Noah, where there's violence and debauchery and depravity.
Right.
And men, you know, going their own ways and doing what they think is right. And I mean, it's just spinning out of control.
Yeah, absolutely. And I see, you know,
thing.
Yeah, we see what's going on in the world today. And it makes me wonder how bad were things back then before the flood? I mean, because I can't imagine things were worse than they are now.
Well, there's nothing new under the sun, Solomon says.
Right.
I mean, man's depravity, we might have more technology. We have more, well, I mean, Cain used a rock to kill his brother, for Pete's sake. I mean, that was even before there were weapons, before there were any, you know, weapons like we have today. Of course, we've increased that with the knowledge of more and more violence. But the other thing that I think is key that God said in the last days is that they'll be without natural affection. And, you know, that their hearts are growing cold. Like you said, we're so desensitized at this point.
You know, Karen,
in this country,
there's something wrong when people want to put on a facade for folks they don't even know on the internet, but they won't do the same for people they know. They won't treat people they know as well as they treat people they don't know. And I mean, that really, really disturbs me. And you can see it the way people act towards each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, it's easy to create a false self online. I mean, you can come up with your own name. You can come up with you can lie through your teeth online. Nobody knows the difference. You can act like this, act like that, put out this image. And, you know, people call friends, quote, they don't even really know people. And then and the real people in life know them, and it's true in my life. I know people who are completely 100% different than in their real life than they are on, say, like Facebook or Twitter or other places where, especially, you know, Instagram, any of this where it's just this, look at me, I'm bragging. That's another sign in 2 Timothy 3 that they would be boasters. Proud, you know,
right.
I'm boasting. Look at me. Don't you wish you can have what I have? And don't I have the perfect family? And don't I have the perfect everything? And then the people that really know them, they're going through divorce, they're having affairs, their kids are crazy, they're going through, you know, all this stuff. But online, if you just took that at face value online, they're like completely two different people. That whole social media thing has just really gotten weird. That's why you have
exactly.
to be careful.
Well, you know, the Bible tells us that in the last days, folks will be boasters, lovers themselves, and we see it. I can't tell you how many times the people's actions just absolutely baffle me. And I'm not saying how people treat me, but just how I see people treat other people. You know, it's just really baffling. Like their sense of goodness ends at the tip of their nose. What's good for them is good for them, and to heck with everybody else.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate of self-centered, selfishness, living in the flesh. You know, the Bible says if you live by the, you know, walk by the flesh, you're going to, you know, fulfill the desires of the flesh. And, you know, you see it in the selfies and everything. And now what cracks me up, Jay, you know, the Pope himself, the great leader, the great savior of the, of the planet, he's got an Instagram account now. You know, he's already got Twitter and all this other stuff. And these celebrities and these political figures that we're seeing bash each other. I mean, they can't wait to get on Twitter to go crazy on each other.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
with this presidential election process. Man, it's getting to be a crazy circus. It really is. I never thought I would see it.
Really was before too. I was looking at something about Bush and Dukakis back when, and they were really the only difference was they could just do campaign ads on TV and in the papers and. You know.
See, now, though, in this day of instant news and instant information through Twitter and Pinterest and Facebook and everything else, all these other social networking sites, the stuff spreads like wildfires now. And it takes on a whole life of its own. Whereas back with Bush, that technology hadn't been invented yet. So it was a little more subdued only because there wasn't the big audience for it. Now, there's an audience, and people feed into it. They're like, oh, okay, I've got such and such many people paying attention to me. I'm going to see how big of a jerk I can be. That's the nice way I can put it.
Yeah, and the other thing that's so funny about all this is, you know, you talk about, I mean, I think I read somewhere that social media is the most antisocial medium that we have. I mean,
isn't that crazy?
That's ironic, isn't it? We call it social media, but really, I mean, you think that we, you know, again, like we follow people, these celebrities, say you're following one of your favorite celebrities or whatever, or whoever you're following, you know, and they get on there, and of course, probably their agents are doing it, but they'll put a picture on, and you think, you know, you're going in to have dinner with them, you're going in a ride in their limo, and you're going here and there, and they're telling you all their thoughts, and they're going in the shower now, and they're, you know, it's like,
right,
you know,
and what they're having to eat.
Calling them by their first name. It's like you know them, but yet, you know what's so funny? That's exactly the way that God has us know Him is through the written word. Is it the only way? But you know what? If you spend 15 minutes reading a chapter a day, starting with maybe Matthew or something, and just start reading through that. You keep going and you keep reading and God keeps showing you things. Before you know it, you really do know Him. But see, you've taken the time to hear what He has to say. He wrote it in the written word. Well, these people are writing it on Twitter, and we're reading all this stuff. We're reading Facebook. We're reading. And it's the same principle. The only difference is that that's all fake, like you were saying. That's not, you know, like this is why people get so surprised when they've had this idol that they've worshipped, this person, this thing. And then, well, it happened. I was watching a documentary in the 80s where people were following, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, for instance. They were talking about steroid use and all this in this documentary. And people were so let down by these guys. You know, they built them up and bragged about doing this natural and keeping. And then they found out that their heroes, the ones that they role models and people they admired and uplifted, let them down big time when they found out that they were using steroids. And so they believed the stuff about them and then found out the reality was another thing. With God, there is no change. It says He is. It's just there.
Amen. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, He always will be the same.
And that's the good news for us, that there is something we can count on, something we can trust, something we can know, something we can have assurance and peace over, and even joy in the midst of all this junk. We can actually have complete peace that passes all understanding. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you be peaceful when the world's going to, as you said, to hell in a handbasket? Why would you ask, how could you have peace?
Right.
Because Jesus said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you. He made that very clear. The peace the world gives is a false peace, and that's the whole battle cry with you see these one-worlders and global people coming together. It's always peace and security, peace and safety, peace and safety. That's all you hear. That's their battle cry. That's their motto. That's their,
right.
You know, that's what people follow. And I find it interesting that the Bible says when they say, when they finally get to the point that they cry peace and safety, and they're all, you know, thinking they got it formed at this point, sudden destruction is going to come. So God isn't mocked. He, you know, that's the whole thing. It's all fun until it isn't anymore.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt. And what's getting hurt is your eternal life. And, you know, that's what people, you know, I don't know how many times I've heard, I have a soul, but I'm not using it, you know, things like that. And it really baffles me how flippant people can be towards their eternal life.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're all eternal, Jay, right now. We are eternal beings. It's just a matter of where are we going to spend it after death.
Right.
I mean, after our bodies give out, we're going to move on. We are already in eternity right now. And, yeah, to be flippant, you're really playing a lot of Russian roulette and throwing the dice with your eternal security if you're just flipping it off and thinking, well, you know, yeah, right, whatever. You know, it's a spaghetti monster. It's the, you know, there is no God. There's, you know, you guys are crazy. You're fools. And, yet our particular belief and our Bible is the most accurately proven for evidence in historical accuracy that is on the planet. And yet people laugh at it. But this is part of, again, I mean, think about it. Jesus came to this earth constantly touching people, Jay. I mean, he walked up, he did it differently for every person that he encountered, of course.
Right.
Because he's such a beautifully unique, that's how much he cares about us. We're all unique to him and special. And he would touch one, immediately they could see. He helped one get up. He could immediately walk, immediately not be hunched over, immediately talk. You know, all the diseases left. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He did all these things. No one had ever and can never do this ever again. I mean, he proved himself. Then to top it all off, I'm not talking instantly healing. I'm not talking go take, you know, this treatment and maybe it'll take you 6 months. He touched them. Some of them touched his garment and were healed. I mean, it was the most amazing and astonishing thing anyone had ever seen on the planet.
Amen.
And then to top it all off, he rose from the dead. The tomb was empty. We just, you know, went past the Resurrection Sunday and all that means to us. And he did not stay in the grave. He was alive. He rose again and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And the neat thing about it all, how much more could he prove? Did Buddha do that? Did Muhammad do that? Did Krishna do that?
No.
Did the spaghetti monster do that?
Spaghetti
Satan?
Monster. Satan?
Yeah. The, you know, Baphomet statue, did he do that? I mean,
right.
Who could rival what he did? No one. Now, the Bible tells us there's going to come one doing lying signs and wonders. That's not the same thing. And yet,
right.
You know, people still didn't believe. Why did they hate him? They hated him because he told them of their complete depravity. He told
exactly.
them that there was no hope for them but through him, that he
people
was the
do not want
only
to be admonished.
Way.
Yeah, people don't want to be admonished. They don't want to be told that they're wrong or that they're doing wrong because it's a pride thing.
Sure it is. I mean, that's our natural condition. We're separated from God, spiritually dead, and doing our thing. We inherited this from our original parents. We can't help it. We come into the world like this. But he doesn't want us to stay there, and he offers us reconciliation and relationship with him, which he enjoyed with Adam and Eve before sin entered the world through their disobedience. And the neat thing was, that's all God wants now. It's not so much about not going to hell, although that is definitely there. It's about that we were created for relationship with him. He wants us, each one of us. He wants to walk with us every day. He wants to talk. Mm-hmm. He wants to be our friend. He wants to be our God. He wants to be our Father. And that's what his heart really longs for. His creation that he loves. He wants to have it basically come home. He says, come. Right. Come to me. And you know, getting back to that thing with a little bit on the Noah thing, you know, you were saying how people were just kind of mocking and laughing and, you know, going to and fro. And when the rain started coming and God shut the door of the ark, what do you think those people were thinking then? I mean,
I can't say it.
But they were probably clawing at this boat, this ark, going, let us in, we believe you said it, we don't want to die, let us in. And Jesus says that that is a picture of him as the door that we enter through into God's kingdom. We find safety in his kingdom, in assurance, in salvation. And he is that door. One day, that's going to come to an end, and people are going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth because they're going to realize it's the same kind of principle. But it's too late. Now is the day of your salvation. Today. You know, we don't know if we're even going to make it tonight. I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
Amen.
How do we know?
Amen.
I mean, my word, we read stories every single day. And we're fortunate and blessed to have another new day that nothing happened. I usually wake up and thank the Lord for protecting us and for watching after us and for giving me a new day.
Yes.
I mean, all of our lives and our breath is in his hands. We don't know. I mean, those people in Brussels, do you think that they were thinking that when all of that went down, or any of these tragedies?
Yeah, not just that, you know, and that's what bothers me the most with this war on terror and whatnot. You know, there's such manufactured outrage for things like that. And you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be outraged at it. But when we're led, when it's manufactured outrage, we're being told that we've got to be outraged over this. But like I said earlier on the show, a 3-year-old little girl gets killed in a drive by laying in bed with her mother, and we just bat an eye at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not sensational enough. Yeah, I've said this for years. It's bothered me who gets on the news and who gets the attention. I mean, a lot of people die every single day, and we don't hear a thing about it. The only people are those close to them that understand and know and grieve. But, you know, it doesn't mean, and we know that the whole media thing is just nothing but propaganda. I mean, we don't get good journalism. We don't get the truth.
No, people don't want good journalism. They want sound bites.
Yeah.
Karen, we're down to the last 4 minutes. Wow. And you know what? There's something that I wanted to bring up. I wanted to change directions because we usually start the show talking a little bit about chocolate and coffee. And I wanted to bring something up because this is chocolate and coffee. Tim Hortons.
Mm.
If you're not, if you don't know yet, Tim Hortons now has filled cookies and filled donuts. And you'll never guess what they're filled with. Nutella.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes. Nutella. Oh, if you folks aren't familiar with what Nutella is, oh boy, you're missing one of the simple mm-hmm. little pleasures in this world. But yeah, I saw that the other day, and I was like, I gotta tell Karen, because I know you're a chocolate lover, and Nutella is one of your favorite things. I was like, I gotta tell Karen this. So I'm gonna be making a trip to Tim Hortons here in the next day or two to try those Nutella filled donuts or cookies. I am a cookie monster, so. We'll see. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, wow, I got to tell Karen, because we usually talk a little bit about chocolate and coffee at the beginning of the show, but we were kind of discombobulated at the beginning of this show. So I wanted to pass that on to you.
Wow. Well, I'll tuck that in my pocket. And yeah, amazing. So yeah, and again, that is one of those pleasures in life that we enjoy. Yeah. I'll have to check that out. We have it.
Yes,
definitely. Most people do.
Yes, they're close
around
by.
Around.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, we're down to 2 minutes. This hour, or 58 minutes, actually, flew by very, very fast this week. Oh, boy. I can't believe how quickly it went by. And, you know, it's funny because you sent me probably 15 different links for possible show topics, and we didn't get to any of them.
Well, we didn't. But, you know, this is real life, I mean, that we're talking about. This is the everyday stuff. I mean, we see stories come and go, and the world does its thing, you know. And it's interesting, and a lot of people hone in on things that, really, I mean, in the realm of things, it's entertaining, but to live your life every day, I mean, that's where we really live, is in reality. So
Amen.
It's important to think on God's word and to think on things and to know where your soul is going, so that you can have that peace and assurance and joy and all the blessings that God gives us through Christ. And
Amen.
You know, it's not a fear thing. It's a love thing. It's, I mean, we have a healthy fear of the Lord. The Lord is, you know, holy and just, but the main thing is that he wants, and he knows us. He knows us more than any, I mean, he created us for Pete's sake.
Right.
And he wants us, you know, he wants us more than anybody ever would want us. So, yeah, that's the good news of the gospel. I was just going to read one super really quick if I can get it in.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 4:3-4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
Wow.
So,
that is powerful. Oh, Karen, thank you again for a great show this week. Oh, boy. Looking forward to next week already. We'll be back Tuesday, 2 Eastern, 1 Central. We're looking forward to it. Folks, we're down to the last 15 seconds. Take care and God bless. We love you. Thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining.
This is the Truth Radio Network. The Truth Radio Network. Your home for compelling Christian news talk with an edge.